This Wednesday is the busiest market of the year at the Santa Monica Farmers Market. So let's check in with Jillian Ferguson to find out what chefs at the market have planned for this Thanksgiving week in Southern California.
This is Jillian Ferguson with the Market Report. For many of us, this week will be the one time of the year that we gather around the table and get to eat stuffing. Here to give us a new take on this longtime Thanksgiving classic is Zach Jarrett. Zach is the chef at Bub and Grandma's, and I'd say he knows his way around a loaf of bread. Hi, Zach.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. So stuffing, everyone loves it. We rarely get to eat it. What is your hot take on stuffing this year?
I think that stuffing is really about texture overall. And garnishes. And, you know, bread, especially with chicken stock, you're looking for something that's absorbent and that can get crispy but sort of be soft and custardy. And it's a good vehicle to deliver something else like squash or sausage or nuts. And I think it sort of reflects what you ate growing up and sort of the mix of your memory of what your parents made or didn't make versus the sort of idea of how you want to do your own thing. And that feels very like a Bub's approach, always thinking of it's a nostalgia moment through right now.
Yeah. And okay, so let's talk about the texture element. How do you achieve that softness combined with the crunchy exterior?
Yeah. So for me, it's sort of looking at some of the techniques globally that do these kinds of things, like really good French toast, for example, like a long soak and then a bake, and you get this sort of crackly exterior in the custardy center. So for me, with the bread, I pre-soak bread overnight and then temper in hot stock and eggs, and then do a long, low-temperature bake. So you're achieving something that's sort of homogeneously creamy and gooey, and with things like mushrooms and kabocha squash or a bit of breadcrumbs at the end, you can get like a almost like a terrine of stuffing.
I love this. And are we baking it in a loaf pan?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a stuffing loaf.
Yeah, so this year for Bub's, we're going to make stuffing loaves in these 5x5 bread pans that we bake our challah and our meatloaf in. So we're envisioning a big brick of griddled stuffing sort of enrobed in gravy with a curly parsley.
So awesome. Yeah. And you mentioned mushrooms, you mentioned kabocha squash. Yeah. What kind of aromatics, alliums, herbs are going to go in there?
So, I mean, right now we're standing at Chandler Farm, so it's like green garlic, cipollini onions, and sage sort of build the base of how I think about it. Also, I'm very classically like a braised celery guy. Mm. So part of like building depth is braising celery in stock and sort of having these processes to get as much material, like as much flavor developed before you're baking as possible.
Mm-hmm. And for that overnight soak, what are you soaking it in?
Just in chicken stock. And it's just because since Bub's has so much sourdough bread and we're not using like milk breads or like white bread, just to give a little bit of softening ahead of time. So like a thin layer with a little bit of stock, then the next day you have like moistened bread.
And you're using a sourdough?
Yeah, mostly. I think I'm going to use like a giant mix of everything.
Okay.
I mean, we bake so much bread, it's always around. It would feel too precious to be like, oh yeah, it's just sesame. And sorry, seeded loaves, you're not for you this year. So it'll be a mix of everything we have.
Can you maybe riff on what you might do with a leftovers from a Thanksgiving stuffing rogue?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's the size of bread. So if you cut two slices of bread and the slice of stuffing, and then fill it with all your, like, turkey leftovers. You have a sandwich. Or I guess you could be, like, nasty about it and make, like, a... What was that KFC thing with the chicken? The double down? You could double down with two stuffing breads and fill it with whatever's left over. Or you could sort of, like, I don't know, maybe, like, a charcuterie plate. No one sort of reimagines, like, the leftover cheese and such. Like a cranberry relish and little triangles of stuffing loaf. Would be nice.
I love it. All right, Zach. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Zach Jarrett, chef at Bub and Grandma's on Eagle Rock Boulevard. Starting today, you can find slices of that stuffing loaf on the menu at Bub and Grandma's. I also encourage you to try making your own this Thanksgiving. You can find Bub and Grandma's bread for sale at the Hollywood Farmers Market on Sundays and the Culver City Farmers Market on Tuesday. If you're looking for ingredients for your own stuffing loaf, you can head straight to Peter Shaner's stand at the Wednesday Santa Monica Farmers Market. For over 30 years, Peter has been here every week selling everything from onions and herbs to pomegranates and citrus. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's start with onions, because throughout the year you have different types. Right now you have your classic yellow onion as well as the cipollini. Aside from the obvious difference, the size, what makes a cipollini onion unique?
It's a milder onion, so you could count on it being mild, as opposed to the regular onion, which is sharper.
And how does it grow? Does it grow just the same as a regular onion?
It grows the same as a regular onion. And it just has a shorter growing period.
Do you get just one crop of onions a year, or do you plant them multiple times?
We plant them multiple times throughout the year. Certain onions grow at certain times of the year. So we have a late onion and then an early onion. And the cipollinis we'll be planting right now and then harvest them probably about May and June. And then we have a storage, they can store for a while also. So that's the advantage of onions. We can sell them green, or we can let them grow to full maturity, and then we can store them and sell them throughout the storage time.
So I love roasted cipollini onions, but every single time that I buy them, I am reminded at what a pain they are to peel. Do you have any tips for that?
Yes, don't peel them.
Oh.
The peeling is very thin, and it's edible, and so you don't even need to peel them. You can just brush off the loose skin that is there and then use all the rest.
Wow, you just changed my idea of cipollinis from the most work to the least amount of work. So what about the other onions that you grow? You have the full-size yellow onions as well, right? What variety is that?
We usually grow the candy onions or the Texas 1015s, the sweet varieties. And those we plant right now. In fact, it's called 1015 because the University of Texas developed it, and they figured the best time to plant the seed is on October 15th.
I love that story. Since you've been in the game, and I know growing onions for a long time, how have you seen the different varieties evolve? I imagine you don't grow the same ones now that you did when you started.
When we started, the Maui onion was just coming out and very popular. And then we had the Texas sweet onions follow the Maui onions. And so that has been the trend. People want a nice big sweet onion.
And let's shift to garlic, because I know you grow that as well. What variety of garlic do you grow?
We grow, it's a California white garlic. There's a California early and a California late. But the thing about our garlic is, right now we have it green garlic. It's the same garlic that we just pull it early.
Oh.
And some of it we'll leave in the ground, and it'll mature again in May and June. But we have from now until then to pull it green and use it.
The chefs must love that.
The chefs and everybody loves that, because you have to have garlic in everything. But the thing with the green garlic, it's not as pungent as the cloves yet. So you could even chop it up and put it on your salad, your green salad.
Wow. Oh, wow. Good idea. Okay. And finally, all the aromatics. I feel like you are the one-stop shop for Thanksgiving. Tell us what herbs you have this time of year.
We have a lot of rosemary and sage right now, a little bit of lavender. And today we have a lot of lemon verbena, but that's going out quick with the cold weather coming on. But we'll have a lot of rosemary and sage.
Perfect. All right, Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That was Peter Shaner from Valley Center. You can find him every Wednesday on 2nd Street at the downtown Santa Monica Farmers Market. For the Market Report, I'm Jillian Ferguson.
Nick, let's answer one more listener question before we go to a break. Sue writes, I have a beloved family member requesting limited dairy if possible. Any ideas for mashed potatoes prepared without milk or sour cream?
Absolutely. You don't need dairy to create creamy mashed potatoes. Take boiling water and olive oil and salt and pepper, and that's all you need. And the olive oil and the heat from the boiling water will help emulsify the starch, and you'll get really smooth, creamy mashed potatoes. Use a ricer for smoothness. That really helps. If you don't have a ricer, take your boiled potatoes, peel them, and then pass them through a fine mesh sieve. That'll also help.
Yeah, ricers are really great. They look like gigantic garlic presses.
Yes, a huge blessing with potatoes.
Yeah, and can you make mashed potatoes in advance?
You can make mashed potatoes in advance, absolutely. What I do is I warm them with a little bit of a few tablespoons of hot water, stick them in the microwave, a couple of minutes, pull them out, and that's it.
Amazing. See, really, Thanksgiving is like a military operation. You just have to really plan it out. Speaking of dairy-free, you have a recipe in your new book for a vegan creamed corn that looks so good.
Oh my gosh. So I first ate cream corn at Thanksgiving many, many years ago when I lived in Ohio, and I wasn't impressed. I thought it was one of the most richest parts of the meal. So for this book, I said, I like sweet corn at Thanksgiving. It's an integral part of the menu. How do I make it vegan but light and fun. Actually, vegan wasn't even on top of my head. I just wanted it to be feeling light and fun in texture, but also bursting with flavor. And the easiest 5-minute thing that I could pull off, kimchi. If you throw in some kimchi, it's already bursting with flavor. It's got sour, a little bit of heat, spiciness. So you really don't need to add any spices. Throw that in there with a little bit of coconut milk, chop some fresh chives, and that's it. And of course, add the sweet corn.
So with the kimchi, are you chopping it fine? Are you leaving it whole? Is it cabbage kimchi?
I use cabbage kimchi. I chop it up in coarse bits. If you want, you can chop it up fine. The main thing is with the kimchi, get some of the juice out from the can after you're done, because that's where all the flavor is.
Sounds so great. And then you just saute it on top of the stove?
Yeah, I add saute an onion with a little bit of olive oil. You could use any type of oil that you want. There's a little bit of garlic. And then you toss all those ingredients, bring it to a simmer, throw some chives. It's literally the easiest thing to do for Thanksgiving.
And you've cut the kernels off the corn cob.
Yeah, and if you don't want to do that, you can use frozen, because I'm a big advocate of frozen corn. It tastes better than fresh.
I love to hear that. I love to hear that. And for anyone who wants to make that vegan kimchi creamed corn this Thanksgiving, you can find the recipe on our website. Up next, dessert. We turn our attention to, of course, pie when Good Food continues.